be a part of that. You enjoyed it. Maybe it whet your appetite for you to continue to kind of lean into that great passage in Ephesians 6 where Paul talks about the armor of God. Finished it up, and so we're kind of going to do something a little bit different this morning, and we have a real treat today. I'm going to share a message that God's kind of laid on my heart, more of a devotional type message this morning, just talking about heaven a little bit. And you probably got here today and you went, there's no title in the bulletin for the message. There's no scripture. Freaks me out. It's always there. What does that mean? Well, it means a lot, okay? So you guys know that God is a prayer answering God, right? That we believe in the power of prayer around here. We've seen God do some mighty, mighty things. Sometimes we don't get to hear about it, but I think when you have powerful, powerful evidence of how God has worked, it needs to be shared. That folks need to hear that testimony. They need to hear how faithful God is. And sometimes even when we're going through it, we need to be reminded that God is faithful and answers prayer. There's a precious lady, a precious saint in our church that we thought God was calling home. It looked like she was headed home. But he saw fit to leave her here with us through the prayers of you and others around the world. And so this morning, I've asked Jennifer Holloway to come and share a bit of her story. I think you're going to be blessed. Now, you're going to have to be pretty quiet because Jennifer's voice is still a little bit weak, and she's not going to try to climb these stairs. And I've already told her, hold that mic close to your mouth. But she's going to sit right down here in the front, and she's going to share with you a little bit of her story of the amazing things that God has done in her life. You don't know Jennifer Holloway. This is Jennifer. And what a blessing to see all that God has done in her life. Most of us have lived with her through this. So.
Okay, can y'all hear me okay back there? Well, first of all, let me just say the prayers and the love that y'all showed us through this has been amazing. We felt God every day around us, and the nurses and everyone else, everyone knew I was a miracle. So it started about a year ago. I had cellulitis, took antibiotics, and we just lost track of it. Before we knew it, it just got out of control. And Steve one day said, I think you need to go to mom's while I'm at work today. So he took me over to my mom's, and she ended up calling 911. She couldn't wake me up. I was not responding. So they took me to, EMS took me over to meet LifeLight, and they flew me to Seton Hays, where the miracles began. I was surrounded by what ended up being my favorite doctor ever, Dr. Hernandez. And they had to trach me, put ports in, start dialysis. I became diabetic, heart failure. On and on it went, and he went to my family and said, y'all need to say your goodbyes. Well, my family felt different. First, I heard Steve telling me, don't leave me, I can't make it without you. And then my mom telling me, we need you here, don't go. And then I heard my precious son telling me, Mom, I know I've disappointed you, but I'm going to get right with God. So I knew I wasn't supposed to leave, but in the meantime, I left. I went to heaven. I was with my dad. Such precious time with him. And I just felt this warmth all around me and our favorite song that we used to sing together in the garden. And I just knew he was there with me. I could see things going on and hear things, but it wasn't me there. God was protecting me through it all. Sorry, bear with me here. And then I had these special visits from Buddy. He's not just our preacher, he is a pastor. He came and just spent time and time and time. Surprised me even one day with Effie to come visit me. His cousin Connie came to see me one day, which was definitely a surprise. And then Sarah Nikosha came to visit me, and she knew I was having a hard time learning to talk again and learning to speak and was so frustrated. And she brought me those little cards that had letters and numbers and phrases. And even though it didn't quite help fast enough, it did get me started on speaking again. So that was a very special thing. My son, and when I got to rehab, I still wasn't okay. I was still on the she's going to fly list. And my son and daughter-in-law and grandson came and spent Mother's Day with me, and it was such a special day. I came to life that day. I came out of everything, and they were shocked at all of a sudden I just woke up. So rehab got really intense at that point. And they did a swallow test so I could learn to eat again, and everything just completely turned around. And Steve and my mom were once again there with me. And my daughter, through my dialysis, came and sat with me and just cleaned my nails and massaged my hands, and such special care. There were a lot more visitors. The Matthews, Wesley and his wife, I think Nancy came. There were several others, and I'm sorry if I've forgotten. Some people came, and I'm sorry, I don't know, I didn't know who it was. We should have had a guest book. Then I could look back at the directory. So that's pretty much. Oh, and one of my best friends, Patty, told them she was my sister, so they'd give her all the information on my care. So, and the funny thing is, my rehab people now know my sister, because they were my rehab people in the first day in the hospital. So just some incredible things that God did throughout it all that was amazing. But I for sure want to thank you all, and don't doubt miracles. They're happening all around us. My husband's one of them too. So, well, thank you all.
You know, I think that was important for Jennifer to get to come and thank you as a church for praying for her, and continue to pray for her. Jennifer makes progress every day between her mom's care, our sweet Ruth, and her husband. What a blessing to see how far she's come. If you were one of those who saw Jennifer early in that situation, you would know, Jennifer, we're thankful to have you here with us today, getting to worship with us and be a part of this. And just a sweet reminder this morning that, listen, prayer works. God is faithful to answer prayer and to work around us. And sometimes we forget, as a church family, we've got folks that are going through things sometimes, but don't hesitate to lift them up, pray for them, intercede for them. It's amazing to see what God does. And Jennifer's life has touched a lot of people. Her testimony, her witness has been powerful to folks that worked with her in the hospital, in the nursing home, her son, and many, many others she's been able to touch through her testimony. So Jennifer, thank you for, that's hard to do, isn't it? Thank you for being brave to come up here and share that special story with us today. If you have your Bible with you, I want you to turn with me to John 14. Go to John chapter 14. We're going to be looking at the first six verses there. This is quite a famous passage of Scripture. Matter of fact, I have preached from this passage of Scripture many, many times, but mostly at funerals. So unless you've been to one of those funerals, I don't know if you've ever heard me speak to this passage before, but this is a great passage of Scripture. Usually we hear it at funerals, and the reason we do is because it's such a powerful, encouraging passage for someone who dies in the Lord. Don't know if you heard what Jennifer said, but she was immediately comforted as she thought she might be leaving us. She was immediate, and that's how God is. God is faithful. And so this passage has brought a lot of comfort to a whole lot of people. We're going to be in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. And I've titled this message this morning, Everybody Wants to Go to Heaven. Okay? And there's a pretty famous song that's been written by that title. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Right? That's the song. And so I kind of got interested in that, and I thought, you know, that's an interesting title to a song, isn't it? And then it fascinated me how that song, written many, many years ago by a couple of pretty famous people that write music, Jim Collins, Marty Dobson, they wrote it a number of years ago. It's been recorded by all different kinds of musical artists and in all different genres of music. I just started looking it up and going, and that's fascinating that so many people have recorded this song called Everybody Wants to Go to Heaven. It's been recorded in country music, the blues, gospel music, contemporary Christian music, bluegrass music. I even found a reggae version and a rap version of this song. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Loretta Lynn recorded it. B.B. King recorded it. Kenny Chesney, many of you who lived to country music, you know Kenny Chesney made this song famous. Mark Lowry and the Martins recorded it on a Gaither Homecoming album. And my personal favorite is David Crowder's version of it, Everybody Wants to Go to Heaven. And he wrote a book by the same title, Everybody Wants to Go to Heaven. So it's a pretty famous sentiment. Everybody wants to go to heaven, nobody wants to die. B.B. McKinney said, when he wrote this song, said it just a little bit differently. He said, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to have to die to get there, right? And the famous boxer, Joe Louis, he said, everybody wants to go to heaven, nobody wants to die. So it's a pretty famous sentiment. Everybody thinks about heaven. Like, nobody wants to think that this is all there is, right? That there's more beyond this place, that there's hope beyond the grave. Kenny Chesney, when he recorded this song, was asked some questions about it. And Kenny Chesney's a great country music artist. I don't know if you like his music, but I think he's a great country music artist. But here's what he said. This is a rather long quote, but this is what he said when he released this song on one of his classic kind of best-selling albums called Lucky Old Son. And he said this. He said, everything in that song is everything we all think. I don't know anyone who doesn't want to go to heaven, but nobody wants to go today. If you could pick, you wouldn't pick right now. You'd want to live, to do more things, to have more fun. And that's sort of the point of the song too. It's one of those songs that says, I'm not only not ready, I've got a little more fun to have. It's certainly the way me and the people around me try to live, to pack as much as we can into every day. And it's the way that I think our fans are living too. You can tell when you get out in the parking lot, these are people who have come to have fun, to make a few memories with their friends, and I think that's a great way to live. Well, I like Kenny Chesney. I think his music is great. I don't know if his philosophy is really great there. I definitely don't think he's a theologian, right? I mean, his kind of view of heaven there, to me, is skewed a little bit, probably reflects something of the more self-indulgent or hedonistic lifestyle of our day. I'm afraid a lot of this world pretty much thinks like that. Let's be honest. Heaven is more than just, well, I'm not ready to go yet because I want to have a little more fun here, right? I think people think about heaven. They do. It's something that's in the back of our minds. I think when you're younger, You don't think about those things as much, but as we get older, as we get closer to that day, the more and more we think about heaven. And Jennifer's whole story to me makes me think about heaven, the reality of heaven, the hope that we have of going there one day. I think those are things we need to kind of hone in on and kind of get a hold of. And really and truly, if you want to know how to go to heaven, if everybody really wants to know how to go to heaven, then I think we need to understand what Scripture has to say on the subject. What did Jesus say about heaven? What do we know from this book about heaven? And probably there's nowhere in Scripture we have a more definitive kind of text really about heaven other than things like in Revelations when it tells us there will be no more crying, no more tears, no more pain, no more sickness, those kind of things. This passage where Jesus speaks in John chapter 14 is a pretty powerful passage on heaven. Look at it with me, if you would, if you have your Bible there. I want you to see this, and then we're going to talk about this just a little bit in the time that we have together. I don't want you to miss some of these things. Such a famous passage. Again, you'll hear this passage at funerals, but boy, kind of hang on to this morning. As you think about Jennifer's testimony this morning, she's kind of my opening illustration today. As you think about that, you think, you know, one of these days, God's going to call all of us home. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet Him face to face? Is your life in that place? It doesn't have to be a fearful thing, does it? It doesn't have to be something that we're afraid of. I think we can have great hope, and here's why. Look at John 14. You ready? Here's Jesus speaking to His followers, His disciples. He said this, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know the way." Where I go, you know, and the way. And the way you know. I'm sorry, guys. I'm getting kind of choked up there. Think about this just for a second. Every promise that God makes in His Word, every promise that Jesus makes in His Word, He will fulfill. Every promise He's given to us, He will bring to pass. I love when Paul says, all the promises of God are yes. You know what that means? That means absolutely He's going to do it. Now you go back and you read the first part of this passage where I stopped right there, and one of the things you have to understand is what did He promise there? I've gone to prepare a place for you, if you're a believer, and if I've gone and prepared a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself that you may be where I am. What can we hang our hat on as a promise there? Heaven. One day if I'm His, He has promised that He has prepared a place for me, and He will bring me to be with Him, whereas that's why a believer should never fear death. Why, as a Christian, the promise will be fulfilled that one day you will be in His presence. But look what He says there. Go back to it, and look what He says in verse 7. He said, if you had known Me, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong place again. There we go. Verse 4, I'm sorry. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Now, we know Thomas, right? Look what Thomas says. It's so interesting. Thomas said to Him, Lord, we do not know where You're going, and how can we know the way? And then Jesus makes this statement that may be one of the most quoted verses next to John 3:16 that you will ever hear, when Jesus simply said, right there, look at it in verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. Listen, if you don't have that verse underlined in your Bible, you underline it. That answers a lot of what we hear in our culture today. That is an answer to universalist teaching that we hear today in some pulpits and some churches, that there are many paths to Jesus, many paths to heaven, many ways to heaven. Listen, Jesus just gave you the final answer on that kind of a question. How do you get to heaven? Jesus is the only way. He's the only way. And He states it so emphatically right there in that passage of Scripture. There's an interview that was conducted not long ago, and people were asked this question, what are your chances of going to heaven? I hope if you're here today and you're a Christian, you know that according to that promise, your chances are 100%, right? But that's the question that was asked. What are your chances of going to heaven one day? And the responses they got were pretty interesting. One man from Illinois said, 50-50. The older I get, the more I think my chances will improve. That's interesting. I don't know if age has anything to do with your chances improving. What we hear, according to statistics, is that if we haven't accepted Christ by the time we are in our senior adult years, the chances are you won't. Wow. Statistics tell us the older we get, the less likely it is for us to change and turn to Christ. So I'm saying, listen, what you're going to do, do today. If you're going to trust Jesus, do it now while he's calling you, while he's moving you. So that's an interesting thought. Then they got this response from a man in Florida. He said, chances of going to heaven, 85%. I don't think the entrance exam will be that tough. I don't know what the entrance exam is. I don't like tests. So I'm glad there's not going to be a test, right, when I get there, because I'm pretty sure Buddy would flunk it. I would just get nervous and probably, you know, just check the bubbles like I used to do. Just whatever, just check, you know. I'm glad there's not going to be a test, because it doesn't depend on Buddy. It depends on Jesus, what Jesus has done for Buddy. So there's no test involved, right? But he said 85%. I don't think the entrance exam will be that hard. Lady from Indiana said this. This is kind of interesting. She said, my chances are kind of slim, maybe 50-50. You have to be more than a nice person, but I'm still in the running. And I want to tell you why I think that answer is interesting. She's right. You have to be more than a nice person. Being nice isn't going to get you to heaven. And as long as she has breath in her lungs, she's still in the running. Because Jesus never counts anybody out. It's not his will that any should perish, but all should come to know him. So those are kind of interesting, aren't they? Let me share with you something. Listen, think about this. I find those responses tragic. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but do they know how? Do they know the way? Do they know the truth about heaven? Do they know where life eternal is really found? Do they have the answers? I think there's at least three things that are necessary if anybody wants to go to heaven. And I want you to think about this. This is kind of side points, okay, guys? So these are not your main three points. But if this is all you get, then this will be okay too. So here we go. Some things that are necessary. Number one, if you want to go to heaven, you must believe in heaven, okay? Now, I think heaven is real whether you believe it or not. It doesn't depend on you to believe it. It's real whether you believe it. But if you don't believe in it, you're certainly not going. Right? Because there's a part of us that, listen, it's a faith thing, right? You believe that. So that's the first one. You got to believe in it. Second of all, you must want to go to heaven. Okay? Not everybody wants to go to heaven. Not everybody that wants to go to heaven is going to heaven. I mean, there's some folks out there, I've even heard a couple of testimonies like this, I'm not really sure I want to go to heaven and sit around on clouds all day in angel costumes and play a harp. Because that's their view of heaven, right? Oh, listen, heaven is so much more than that. We can't even get our head around what God has created for believers, for those who know him in that place called heaven. Not everybody that wants to go to heaven is going, but anybody that does not want to go is not going, right? And then here's the third thing. You must know the way to heaven. Now, here's what I think, and this is so simple this morning. I know you guys are kind of thinking, well duh. I mean, that's kind of a given, right? But think about some of this stuff with me just a little bit. If you're going to go to heaven, if everybody wants to go to heaven, then the next question to me would be, how then? How may I know that I can go to heaven? Now, let me tell you this. I believe this with all of my heart. I think God's Word teaches this. I think the Bible, Scripture, God, Jesus wants you to know. He don't want you to doubt it. He doesn't want you to have fear about it. He wants you to know where you're headed. As a matter of fact, John wrote in 1 John 5:13, he said, listen, I have written these things to you, believe on the name of the Son, that you may know that you have eternal life. He doesn't want us to be ambivalent about it. As a matter of fact, he's just told us in John 14, this is the way, and you can know. You can know you're headed there. And so listen, we don't have to navigate life going, what are my chances of going to heaven? 50-50. Or 85%, I don't think the entrance exam will be that hard. Or 50-50, I know it's more than just being a nice person, but I'm still in the running. I don't think we have to be that ambivalent about it. I don't think we have to wander around in life going, well, I hope I make it. And listen, that's the most common response you'll get. If you ask most people on the street, are you going to heaven? They'll say things like, I hope so. I think so. Well, if I'm good enough. And you'll hear those kind of questions. Listen, I don't think we have to respond that way. I think we can know for certain. And if you think about this in our passage of Scripture, in our passage, Jesus has just finished telling his disciples that he's about to go to heaven. That's essentially what he says here. I'm about to go to heaven. And he was going there to prepare a place for them so that they could also come. That's when Thomas speaks up. And look at it there in verse 5 again. He says this. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Thomas's question gave Jesus the opportunity to make the single greatest statement about himself and about heaven in all of the Bible. I believe that. I probably quote this verse more often in my sermons than almost any other verse. Y'all know I'm just going to throw it out there all the time. Because I believe it's 100% true. It's gospel. It's the truth. Jesus said it. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You don't come to the Father except through me. I don't want anybody that comes into this church or sits under my preaching to ever have the mistaken notion that you are saved because you go to First Baptist Church Buda. That's not going to cut it. Or you are saved because you got wet. Or you are saved because you sing in the choir. Or because you tithe. Or because you serve somewhere. I don't want anybody to ever mess with that and kind of think in the back of their minds that somehow what you do is going to get you to heaven. Because it's not. Jesus said it. He's the way. He's the only way. It is only through, listen to me, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that you can be assured that one day you will be in heaven. We can't mince any words about that. So in this passage of Scripture, when we think about that question, everybody wants to go to heaven. The question is how? Well, look at the passage. Let me give you these three points real quickly. Number one, the pathway to heaven is a person who is the way. The pathway to heaven is a person who is the way. And Jesus tells us. Jesus said, and this is really simple, underline in your Bible. Jesus said, I am the way. There's not a lot you can do with that, okay? There's not a lot of gymnastics you can do with that. I got to tell you that I was in a men's Bible study, not here, okay? But it was in one of the area churches here in Buda. A men's Bible study. This verse came up for discussion one day in that men's Bible study. And the majority of the men in the room said, I don't think Jesus is really saying he's the only way. I think there are many paths to God. I don't go to that Bible study anymore. But I want you to look at your Bible there. There's no way you can mistranslate what Jesus just said. Please understand that. He did not say, I am a way. Or I might be a way. Or I might be one of many ways. That I might be one pathway. What did he say? I am the way. And if that wasn't good enough for you, look what he says at the end of the verse. No one comes to the Father except by me. There are no other ways, folks. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what some preachers say in more universalistic type churches. I don't care what we're hearing today on this more relevant, trying to be more relevant culture in a lot of Christian circles. I'm telling you, Jesus is the only way. We must never stop preaching that. We must never stop preaching. Because listen, to stop preaching that is going to mean hell for some people. We need to preach the truth of the gospel, and that is that Jesus Christ is the only way. Don't think you're going to get there by being a good moral person. Don't think you're going to get there by joining the Baptist church or the Methodist church or any other denomination. Don't think you're going to get there by just getting dunked in the water. Jesus said, I'm the way. He is the way. It must be that you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, inviting Him in. He becomes one of yours. He becomes yours. One of the most famous battles ever fought in history was in the Battle of the Bulge in World War II. The Allies had fought their way hundreds of miles inside the Belgian border. They were moving at a furious pace until all of a sudden they grounded to a halt. The Germans had focused all of their forces at one point in their battle line, and a great bulge became apparent. This counteroffensive almost succeeded because of something the Germans had done just before the battle. A few days before, German soldiers had dressed in American uniforms and had parachuted behind American lines. They had gone all over the countryside in which they were familiar with, and they had changed all the road signs pointing in the wrong directions. So that when the Allied forces and armies began to try to bring reinforcement, they went the wrong direction and weren't there to back up our troops. It almost cost the war. That's interesting. Today, many are lost because they're following the wrong signposts. They really are. And you go, well, what are you talking about? What signpost? Listen, I got to tell you that a lot of times in churches today, there is a signpost that's held out that says religion saves. That religion is the answer. And I'm going to tell you that, listen, even though that's what a lot of churches kind of promote, if not obviously they promote it in lots of other ways, even though that is a very dangerous signpost that's pointing in the wrong direction. I got to tell you, if all you are religious and you're following that signpost, it leads to hell. It really does. I think of the story that Jesus told, Jesus' encounter with the rich young ruler, who was what? Extremely religious. But he wanted to know the secret to eternal life. And remember in the story, he went away sad, right? That's a very telling story. He was following the wrong signpost. There's another signpost that we follow too, and that is that if I'm just good enough, I'm a good person, I'm a good man, I'm a good woman, I'm moral, I'm upstanding, all of those kind of things. And there's so many people that you talk to that go, well, if my good outweighs my bad, when I die, I'll go to heaven. They've followed the wrong signpost. There's only one signpost in Scripture, and you just read it in John chapter 14, verse 6. And what's the signpost say? Jesus. He's the only way. Go this way. And I have to tell you today, I don't know who you are or where you might be in your life, but listen, if you are following any other signpost, be that a Baptist signpost or a religious signpost or good works or morality or any of those kind of, if you're following, listen, get off that road and turn to Jesus. He is the only way, the only way. You ready? Here's point number two. Look at this. Think about this, guys. I've got so much more here to share, but we got to move on. You ready? Here's the second thing. Write this down. The pathway to heaven is a person who is the truth. You know, one of the things that's become apparent to me in our day is we don't like to hear the truth anymore. The truth makes people uncomfortable, right? Paul talked about there would come a time when men would heap to themselves teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear, right? We live in that day when people like to have their ears tickled. So we don't want to tell the truth. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Listen, folks need the truth on heaven. We need to hear the truth. We don't need to be in Bible study somewhere with men who are saying there are many paths to God. That's not the truth. That's not biblical truth. That's not what Scripture says. There are not many paths to God. Scripture clearly says there's one, Jesus, right? And we need the truth on this. And this is so interesting because in this passage of Scripture, Jesus said, I am the truth. Base your life on me. Base your life on what I say about you. And listen, why wouldn't you? Think about what Jesus says about you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. So much so that he went to a cross and died for you. Everything you hear Jesus saying from Scripture is about coming to him, and I will in no wise cast you out. Come to me who are weak and weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me. He came to save us. And he talks about that over and over in Scripture. Listen, he's truth. He's truth. And the only truth we need today is the truth that we understand Jesus is the only way. He is the truth. He's the truth. Many today don't want the truth. They only want to hear what makes them feel good. And even in our churches today, often we have given over to this more seeker-friendly mentality. And that's a phrase you hear a lot in churches today. And y'all know I've talked about this before and I've preached on it before. I think we ought to be seeker-friendly. I think we ought to be drawing people to Christ, but we better be preaching the truth. I mean, if the truth is hard to hear, let the Holy Spirit do the convicting, okay? And preach the truth. I think we need to always come down on the side. Listen, you don't want seekers to come and find a half-truth, because a half-truth is as good as a lie. They need to find the truth. Jesus said, he's the truth. Today we have people who say, truth is whatever you believe. There are no absolute truth. If there's such a thing as absolute truth, you couldn't know it. And we hear all that kind of garbage today. And that's what it is. It's garbage. That is not truth. Jesus said, you want the plumb line for truth? I'm it. He's the truth. And then look what he says. This is the last thing, and I'll close with this one. The third thing he says is this. Listen, the pathway to him is a person that's the way. The pathway to him is a person that's the truth. And you know the third point, right? It's right there. The pathway to him is a person who is life. Life. Life abundant and life eternal. I've been doing this for a long time now. About 30 years I've been preaching. One of the things I know is that men are looking for something. Men and women, they're searching for answers. Even sometimes those within the church and Christians, they're looking for things. And people will heap all kinds of things to them to give themselves life. To make life worth living, to make life have meaning. And I've seen lots of Christians, even believers who are sitting in the church, who have spoiled their life by trying to find life when life is found in Jesus. It's in him and his word and the truth that he gives. And I got to tell you, listen, don't sell yourself short. Life is not found in the things this world has to offer. Life is found in a person, Jesus Christ. I've thought this for a long time. I believe this internally. I think it to be true. I don't think you really live until you know Jesus. I don't think you really experience what life is really meant to be until you experience it. Well, where are you getting that? Is that good sound theology? Is that biblical? I believe that it is. Listen, go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, and I'm going to tell you, listen, look at Adam and Eve before the fall and after the fall. Look at them. Before the fall, life in the garden was good, sweet. Everything was perfect. They had perfect fellowship with God. Every day he came down in the cool of the evening and he talked with them face to face. Life was perfect. Life was good. They had life. But after the fall, what happened? Life was spoiled. And from then on, it became hard. It became work. We began to see from Genesis, tracing all the through Scripture, we see man trying to find life, attach things to himself that brings life. And Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and have it abundantly. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's constantly telling us, listen, come to me, I can give you life. I can give you life. So you want to know, everybody wants to go to heaven? There's one way, there's one truth about it, and there's one way to have real life. And it's Jesus Christ. There's no shortcuts. And listen, I love Jennifer's testimony this morning because, Jennifer, we're so glad that God left you here with us so you could share with us the hope in Jesus that's there. But the one thing I knew about Jennifer from the very beginning, through all of that thing, and listen, Jennifer, you were on a respirator for months and unconscious, and they kept saying, I don't know if she's going to make it. I don't know if she's going to make it. The one thing that I had, I know where Jennifer's headed. I know where she's going. If she wakes up in heaven, she said she was with her dad. She felt the comfort of that. I knew that if God called her home, that's where she is. I stand and preach every Sunday, knowing that my parents are there. I've got loved ones there. And I remember this song sung at my mom's funeral. Heaven sounding sweeter all the time. And it's true. And for a believer, when you know the way and you know the truth and you know the life, listen, we don't have to fear heaven. We don't have to doubt heaven. We don't have to be ambivalent in our thinking about whether we're going to go there or not. It's promised in His Word. We know the way. We know the truth. We know the life. And if your faith is in Him, that's where you're headed. 100% promise, hope fulfilled. If you don't know Him today, why not? Why not today? Why not trust Him with your life? Why not place your life in your hands? Why would you pass up that clear-cut pathway to heaven and life? Would you bow with me forward to prayer?